Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 16, the verses 19 through 31. Luke 16, verses 19 through 31. Let us first sing from Psalter 110, stanzas 1 and 2. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. For countless ills have compassed me, my sinful deeds arise, yea, they have overtaken me. I dare not raise my eyes. 1 and 2 of Psalter 110.
Thank you. Congregation, before we read God's word, let us first do confession of our undoubted confession of faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Chapter Luke 16, beginning with verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that I would ascend him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they persuade it, though one rose from the dead. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, when we have heard in this moment already out of thy holy word in this afternoon hour of those two places, one who in his lifetime has received his good things, and even in his death has received a burial, and the other in his lifetime, having received afflictions, having to endure all the trials, and we read not even of a burial. And then to read of those two places where they are spending eternity. O Lord, then we also have heard in this morning hour of that blessed place where that thou wilt bring thy whole church. For together they shall enter into the king's palace. And now in this afternoon hour, it is in the way of thy holy providence that thou makest us in this hour to consider that there is also a second place wherein all the wicked shall spend eternity. O Lord, remember us, because if heaven will not draw us, and if hell will not frighten us, then it is a testimony of our deadness that we have fallen so deeply that our heart that is so hard, and that all the callings and that all the warnings that are coming unto us can have no place in our hard hearts. O Lord, then thou knowest that from our side indeed it is, that we are fallen dead in sins and in trespasses. Oh, then there is nothing that we can say in this afternoon hour, even that we can bring out of thy holy word, as we have just heard it read together. They have Moses and the prophets. Oh, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, then and neither will they repent, though one rose from the dead. Oh, Lord, remember us then, for there is nothing that we can say. Oh, then there is not a man that can rise out of hell to frighten us in this afternoon hour, that we may be drawn from that awful pit. There is nothing, Lord, except for thee, except for that great, irresistible power of thy Holy Spirit in this afternoon hour that is able to strike an arrow into our hard and sinful hearts. O Lord, thou art able to send it forth in this afternoon hour. Thou art able to send us from this place different than that we have come in. All that is thy work, O Lord, to grant true regeneration, to give life from the dead. O therefore thou dost send thy servants. Therefore thou dost give thy word even unto the youngest day of this world. Therefore, thou wilt also bring in a church that may honor and glorify thee for a great and never-ending eternity, having saved them with fear, drawing them out of the fire. O Lord, wilt thou grant it in this afternoon hour that we may receive a little liberty from thee, and that there may be a holy purpose of thee in this afternoon hour to give us a little strength for the labors of our hands. Oh, that there may be some, many young and old together, that may be pricked in their hearts. Oh, that could not go on anymore upon that broad way that is leading to an everlasting destruction. Oh, that there may be a turning again, that there may be a bowing of the knees, that there may be a calling upon the name of the Lord, that there may be a smiting upon the breast. Oh, Lord, wilt thou remember young and old together? Wilt thou give that thy word may have free course? Look upon all the afflicted and all the needy ones. We have tried to lay them before thee in this morning hour. Look upon them also further, and also all those in this world that are handicapped, and all those that are hungry and thirsty, that are naked, that are destitute, that are afflicted, those that are in distress, those that are persecuted for the sake of thy holy name. That thou may give courage and strength, but that thou may also cause that thy word may have such a place in their hearts that all the darts of the enemy may not be able to turn them away from thy fear. But Lord, then we ask of thee also that those that are deceived in this world, even with thy out of thy holy word, from the mouth of wolves that have entered into thy church, oh, that thou would have mercy amidst the well-deserved wrath, and that thou may give that thy word of truth may enter into the hearts of many in this world, and that thy truth may prevail over all error and over the lie of the devil. Look thou upon our nations in which we dwell. Wilt thou turn us again? So far have we left thee. We have transgressed against thee, even in such an open and a wicked way. Then it seems like thou let us go, that thou takest away thy restraining hand, so that all the sins of our heart, they are lived out in the midst of this world. Lord, could it please thee yet to stop us, to turn us again unto thee and to thy holy law? Wilt thou give it to reign in the midst of the courts of our land? That our judges and that our rulers, that they may fear the name of thee, the great ruler of the whole universe. That thou may plant in the tender fear of thy name in the hearts of those also that rule in the local government and in the provincial governments. Wilt thou give that many may desire again that thy holy day may be sanctified, and that thy holy word that we may stand in awe of it. Wilt thou remember those that are in the prisons, those that suffer innocently, that they may be given patience, and wilt thou show them also that suffering that thou hast done, and that they may be comforted thereby. Lord, that thou may look upon all the afflicted in this world, and do look on all those that come to their aid, all doctors, nurses, all first responders, and remember those that go to other nations in their poverty. Wilt thou help also in all the distresses? And wilt thou give that thy word also may prevail in the far nations of this world? That thy kingdom may come, that thy will may be done, that thy 144,000 may be gathered in. Do remember our school and all the children that go there, and also those that are instructed in their own homes or in other places, our students in the universities and colleges. Wilt thou look upon each and every one of them, and that the devices of Satan also who is so busy to steal the hearts of our youth may fail. Thy power is greater than his power, O Lord, and thou art able in the days of their youth to grant them the fear of thy name, even as a David on the fields of Bethlehem, that they may learn to sing unto thee. Wilt thou remember us as a consistory, and then we hope to meet in the week to come, that thou may give all that is necessary in the labors that thou layest upon our shoulders, and may thou give us wisdom from above, and give that our work may be for a blessing, for this the flock over which thou hast made us overseers. Wilt thou be with us in this afternoon? Grant us sufficient strength to preach thy word, and wilt thou give ears to hear, hearts to understand, an open mouth unto us, and a heart that burns for the welfare of our fellow men, for the honor and for the glory of thy holy name. And we ask it in the forgiveness of all our sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 80, stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. I call upon thy name. O save me in thy righteousness, nor let me suffer shame. 1, 2, 3, and 4. And the last collection today is for the Blue Book Sermons. Congregation, we ask your attention with the Lord's help in this afternoon for the 16th Lord's Day. Question number 44. Lord's Day 16, question number 44. Why is there added, he descended into hell? Answer. and that in my greatest temptations I may be assured and wholly comfort myself in this, that my Lord Jesus Christ, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, terrors, and hellish agonies, in which he was plunged during all his sufferings, but especially on the cross, hath delivered me from the anguish and torments of hell. So far, our Lord's day, Christ's descension into hell. First, it is the descension which we deserve. Second, it is the descension which Christ endured. And third, it is the descension that the church is delivered from. Christ's descension into hell, the descension that we deserve. Second, the descension that Christ endured. And third, the descension that the church is delivered from. He descended into hell. Congregation, they are awful words. What an awful thought. There are none of us likely that have never stood at one time or another, especially if we are older, at the open grave of one whom we love. And then to think of what the end, the last, the final state of our loved ones is. Did you ever have such words come into your thoughts when one of your loved ones has passed away from you? Because we know there are but two ways. And then it is also possible that there is, as we read here, a descension into hell. And we know that there are many, especially at the grave, then they are speaking about an ascension into heaven. A congregation, why is that? And that at the end of life, with the supposed desire to give comfort unto relatives, that there is by times an overturning of everything that is preached from the pulpit, from Sabbath to Sabbath. He descended into hell. Many are speaking about ascending into heaven, but how many of those of whom it is so spoken have actually descended into hell? There are some that we may be sure of. And when we read God's word, and then we read about a Judas, and we read that Judas went unto his own place. Do you know what that means, boys and girls? That means when Judas died, that Judas descended into hell. Do you ever think how that was with Ananias and Sapphira? Where they went when they gave up the ghost? They are those who died in their own sin. Oh, young people, what is that? to die in our sin. And that is when there is no more opportunity to repent, and when there is no evidence anymore of turning, when there is no opportunity to be forgiven. He descended into hell. How do you think that that was, children, for Pharaoh? When he has descended into those waters, when they have overflowed him, that was in that very hour that he was fighting against God. Oh, then it can be no otherwise but that that man, he has descended into hell. How do you think that was for a Herod, who gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms? Oh, then it can be no otherwise but that that man, he has descended into hell. What an awful thought. That is a thought that we would often rather banish from our minds, that we do not want to think about it. Really, if the Lord would convert you, then there may be times that you are jealous of the birds and that you are jealous of the animals. And why? Because they have no soul. Because when they die, then they perish. Then they are no more. And when the Lord will convert you, oh, then we realize that we have a soul and that we are traveling to our judgment and that it is not right with me before the Lord. And so in those considerations, oh, then a man may be jealous that he say, oh, if I only had no soul, that I had not to meet God, that I had not to stand in that awful judgment, rather be annihilated. But there is no annihilation. There is no such thing. No, that soul of man that has been created to live forever and forever, it cannot die. He descended into hell. Awful. What a state. It is the last state of man. It is the eternal state. And now it is in the providence of the Lord that in this very morning hour, then we may speak a little out of His Word of what that final place shall be for those who love the King, who need that King, the power of that King. But congregation, it is now in the providence of the Lord that in this afternoon hour, then that other side, that must be addressed. Oh, then we can ask ourselves, how is it? Oh, it is not only I miss that. No, it is even more. Oh, then there is a place to which I am going. There is a place to which I am traveling. What do we read of that place? We read it is the place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What is that, young people? All that is the worm that will gnaw in our conscience. We all have a conscience. All that conscience that is bothering by times. But oh, how that conscience will gnaw to all eternity. How much will be remembered in hell. Oh, then we will remember every disobedience, every transgression that we have committed in this world, every deed, every word, every thought that was a transgression against the Lord. How will we remember the blessings that have been poured out upon us from the Lord, daily received by us, but not acknowledging in our heart who is our benefactor, who is giving them unto us, and our responsibility to return everything unto Him. Oh, how we will remember the opportunities when we have been sitting in that house of God, the opportunity that He has given us to hear His Word. Oh, how we will remember those times that the Lord, He has pointed out to us what our sin is, and how that it has bothered us when we have left that house of God. But when we have stepped upon it, and we have gone on, when we have continued in our own way, oh, how we will be filled with an apprehension of the wrath of God. Our will that will never agree, because that is a comfort. When our will can agree, then there is peace, then there is rest. But the will of man that will never be able to agree with the will of the Lord when we have descended into hell. And then, congregation, God's Word says more. Then it is not only the internal anguish. No, God's Word that speaks about an external anguish. It speaks about pain. It speaks about suffering. It speaks about a weeping. It speaks about a gnashing of teeth. We have read of it together. That is, that not a single drop of water to cool the tongue it will be given unto man when he has descended into hell. Congregation, what does it say in the Word of God? It is a lake wherein man is ever swimming. Oh, that is a fire wherein man is ever burning. That is a bottomless pit wherein a man is ever falling, falling, falling. He descended into hell. That is, congregation, a separation from everything that is good, and especially from that highest good. That is separation from God. No, not in His wrath, not in His hot displeasure, but a separation from Him in His goodness, a separation from His favor, a separation from His blessed, His comfortable communion, a separation from the Father, who is the fountain of all good in our creation, but also in the way of providence. That is a separation from the Son, who is the only way of salvation, who is the light of heaven, the Lamb we heard this morning. He is the light thereof. And when He is missing, and then it is properly described as a place of outer, outer darkness, a place where there is no hope, a place where there is but an eternal despair of the soul. Oh, there is separation from the Holy Spirit, from the work of that Spirit that is the distributor of every blessing that the Lord is giving unto His own children. It is a separation from God's church. It is a separation from God's people. It is a separation from the holy angels and from all that is rejoicing before that throne of God. He descended into hell. Oh, congregation, how just. How just is God, because we have left Him, because we have chosen this separation. And every day that our own heart testify in this afternoon, every day, and then our life by nature, and then it is nothing but the same choice to walk in this world without God. Oh, how just then is that righteous vengeance of God against those who will not have this man to reign over them. And how hot shall be His wrath against every one of His enemies. He descended into hell. O congregation, how can we bear even to think of what that shall be? And when we lose our loved ones, a dear father, a dear mother, those who have brought us up, who have cared for us, those whom we love, those whom we will do everything for in their old age, a dear father and a dear mother, oh, to think that they would be descending into hell. Your wife, your husband, that is so dear unto you, oh, to think that they are descending into hell. Our brothers, our sisters, our blood, our flesh, our children, oh, our heart that goes out to our children when they are hurting themselves. Oh, then the pain of our children, that is pain that is felt in our heart. Oh, and have only a thorn, oh, then we would like to bear it for them. Oh, then to think that the smoke of their torment that is ascending up forever and forever. Oh, congregation, how is it possible that we live so carelessly in this world with one another? He descended into hell. What is it? It is now that final punishment. Oh, we heard this morning of that final victory. That final victory. And when that body of sin will be laid down in the grave, when it will be resurrected, immortal and incorruptible. But now the opposite. Oh, to descend into that final punishment that will never end, and from which there is no coming back anymore, and from which there is no escape. The tree falling to the north or to the south, we read in the Word of God, there it shall be. O congregation, how awful is sin. Sin, boys and girls, sin that is the cause of death. The wages of sin is death. Then not only the spiritual and not only the temporal, but also that eternal death that is now the wages of our sin, your sin, of my sin. Oh, what a holy and a righteous God, holier than to behold evil, of purer eyes than to behold iniquity. Oh, if only, and that our thoughts would think thereon, and when we would extend our hand to the forbidden object, oh, to consider how evil that sin is against a holy and a righteous God, that it may keep me from the evil he descended into hell. Is it not a wonder that we are not yet there? Because we are hanging as above hell from a thread. Or any moment that thread that can be cut, and then we will descend. Or our life, that is a life that is so frail. Congregation, how is it for ourselves? We see in our second thought the descent of Christ into hell. He descended into hell. Who is that? That is the Son of God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, is that so? That he has descended into hell? How is that? The Roman Catholic Church that says yes. That in an actual way, the Lord Jesus has descended into hell. They say that is necessary. And why is that necessary? Well, because there are people there and that have to go to heaven. No, they are not in hell proper, but they are in a porch of hell. People there that have to go to heaven, that is, in what is called by them limbus patrum. And why are they there? They are there because there was a time before that Christ died. That is, when Abraham died, then that price was not yet paid. And if that price was not yet paid, and then Abraham could not go to heaven. And therefore Abraham has gone to limbus patrum, that is, a place of limbo, fathers in limbo. And when Christ died, and that price was paid, then he has descended there, and then he has released Abraham out of limbus patrum, where he has not suffered at all, where he has not enjoyed the pleasures of heaven. And then he may take Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and all his children from the Old Testament, that he may take them with him unto heaven. Also, that there are those that would enter purgatory, that is, they have not sinned mortally, according to the Roman Catholic Church, mortal sins being sins for which they would have to suffer eternally, but they have venial sins, small sins as it were, small sins which they need to be purged from after their death, and that they enter into purgatory, and the descent of Christ to hell, that is also to deliver those who are in purgatory. Children, when you come home, you must look that up in the Bible and see if you can find such a thing. And there you will find nothing. And therefore, it is nothing but a big lie. And so you should never believe that. Also, the Lutherans, they have believed that the Lord Jesus actually did descend into hell. And that is, that he may proclaim there his victory over death and the grave. But we read of no such thing. But you say, it says it here in our confession, he descended into hell, and that is true. Say, why does that say that in our confession? Well, then we have to ask, what is the meaning of it? And actually, the meaning of it that has been a subject of controversy in the church for many years. But there are three different ways that that word hell is being used in the Word of God. Sometimes that word that is used to mean the grave where our body goes into upon our death. And thus we read that David says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. And actually, and what he is saying is that thou wilt not leave my body in the grave. And it is actually a prophecy of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ himself from the dead. Other times, the word hell, and that is used to actually describe the place of the damned. We heard it read this afternoon, that rich man, he lifted up his eyes in hell. There are other times we read in God's word that the word hell, and that is referring to anguish, a very extreme anguish, that is experienced here in this world. Thus, we can read David, he says, the sorrows of death compassed me and the pains of hell got hold upon me. Then he means not the actual pains of hell, but he means that he was filled with very much anguish in his soul. Thus, that word hell, that means several different things. What does it now mean in our confession that Christ descended into hell? Well, congregation, it is not possible that Christ has actually descended into hell. His divine nature, his divinity, that could not descend into hell. Could his body descend into hell, children? Where did the body of the Lord Jesus go when he died? Well, you say that body was in the grave. That is right. There are the soldiers. They have stood about that grave. Thus, his divine nature, that did not descend into hell. And his body did not descend into hell. And therefore, and what about his soul? What about his spirit? Well, what do we read of that? When he died, what did he say? Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And what did he say to that thief? He said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Thus, the soul of Christ also did not descend into hell after his death. Thus, there can only be one way that this word that is being used, according to the way that it is used in several ways in the Bible, then it can only mean in our confession and that the Lord Jesus has suffered a very extreme anguish and torment in his soul. We know that that was so the whole time of his suffering, of his passion, while he was in this world for 3 years. But it speaks in a special way about that extreme anguish of soul and that the Lord Jesus has experienced toward the end of his suffering. And where was that? In a special way, we read that it has taken place in that garden. when he has himself said that my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. We read that he began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Thus, that was in the garden. And then that second time was when he was upon the cross. And when he had to experience the absence of that felt communion that he lived in daily from his own Father. Oh, what a suffering, what an agony was experienced by the Lord Jesus when that divine wrath, when that divine curse, which was due unto his church, it was poured out upon his soul. Then there was not only the sin of one man. O congregation, what is it to have to bear our own sin? But the Lord Jesus, he has borne the sin, the transgression, the wrath of God against the iniquity of his entire church. And then it was especially at the end of his suffering and that the Lord Jesus was given views of the greatness of the majesty of God and of that great judge. Of that that standing before that great tribunal of God that it has affected him in a special way in his human nature. Then that law of God came before him. Then he saw the justice of God, the demands of that law, and how that law had to be satisfied. And then he saw that payment that was so due for the sin of that people. Then he has experienced something of that vengeance with which that divine judge, he was armed against all the transgressions of his church. And then he has felt something of that curse. Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. As that Father, he has laid upon him the guilt of every one of his people. And then he had a human nature. That human nature was what? That was no different than your nature, than my nature. No, that human nature that was also filled with fear. The divine nature cannot suffer, but that divine nature actually made the suffering of the human nature of the Lord Jesus worse. Why? Because he knew that suffering that was coming. He knew the anguish of soul that had to be experienced. He also knew the anguish of body that had to be endured upon that cursed tree. Oh, then we cannot have an impression of hell because we are of the earth earthy, but he is not. He knew and he knows what hell is. And then to have to experience it himself, oh, the anguish that is experienced therein ahead of time. Therefore, we read that his sweat, that is becoming as great drops of blood that are falling onto the ground because of the anguish of mind, the anguish of soul, the anguish of spirit. The devil was not quiet either. No, the devil is at this time bringing every accusation against the Lord Jesus Christ with all his lies, with all his mockery. And what is now the greatest suffering that the Lord Jesus Christ has endured? Well, we can read a congregation what he has endured upon that cursed tree. And what was that? That was in the forsaking by his Father. What is it? It is really the essence. It is really the essence of hell. And we cannot fathom what that was for him. because it was as a rending. Oh, when we shall be rent, those two most intimate friends, our body and our soul, how fearful is that moment when our soul shall depart from our body. There is not a man that does not fear it. And now the Lord Jesus, oh, to have to experience something of this forsaking by his Father, with whom that he was bound in a holy trinity, that is a union, that is a bond greater than between our body and our soul. Because our bond is a created bond, but his bond, that is an eternal bond. Thus for him, when in that moment when he has cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Oh, that is far greater than any man has experienced in the forsaking of the spirit from his body. Oh, that is not that he lost the love of his Father. No, but it is that the divine favor of the Lord that is not experienced by him in those moments. Oh, how he has gone in his life as a lamb unto the slaughter. Oh, who opened not his mouth. But congregation, when this came about, and when this was experienced, then we hear him crying out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was the greatest part of his sufferings. He descended into hell. And why was that necessary? Oh, then it could not be only the body in which he suffered, because there is a church that has sinned in body and in soul, and there is a payment that needs to be made both in body and in soul. Why? That he may deliver that people from that punishment which they so justly deserve. But let us sing from Psalter 210. Stanzas 4 and 5. I asked in fear and bitterness, will God forsake me in distress? Shall I his promise faithless find? Has God forgotten to be kind? Has he in anger hopelessly removed his love and grace from me? 210, stanzas 4 and 5. Why is there added, he descended into hell, that in my greatest temptations, congregation, temptations, do we know what temptations are? Or do we never think about what a temptation is? Or do we just go on and on, and we let temptations come, and we let temptations affect us, and we allow ourselves to fall under temptation, and with no sorrow, with no grief? Or is it different with us, that we say, that we watch, that we are looking for those temptations, that we are guarding ourselves against those temptations that so affect us, that so draw our hearts, that we would sin against the Lord? Or it is a great blessing, even if in an outward way, that we are made watchful against temptations. Temptations, they are also in the life of God's people. We read about the Lord Jesus himself, that he was tempted. Tempted in the wilderness. Do you know what the devil said to him? He said, "If thou be the Son of God." Thus, he was even tempted to question his own divinity. It is for us incomprehensible, and we cannot understand how that divine and that human nature of the Lord Jesus, that they are come together, and we cannot enter into the temptations also that he has endured. But now God's church that is also having to endure temptations. And now what does it say here? It says, in my greatest temptations, thus there are lesser temptations and there are greater temptations. What are the greatest temptations? Well, they are maybe different for everyone, because that depends on what lies closest to our heart. That depends on what is most dear to us as to what our greatest temptations are. And congregation, what is dearest to you? What is dearest to God's people? How is that in even the beginning of that new life? Is there not something that is becoming so very dear unto them because of that new relation? That relation that is between God and their soul? Or we read in God's word of the psalmist, he says, "The Lord has forsaken me, and my God, he has forgotten me." Or did we not just sing it together? Shall I his promise faithless find? In my greatest temptations. Why? Because in the moment of that new birth, then that separation because of death, as the consequence of sin, that has become a great burden For the soul of God's child. And what is now his life, young people? His life is that is looking that breach between God and his soul, that may be restored. Oh, there is a time he would do anything for that. There is a time that he would go anywhere for it. There is a time that he would forsake everything, that breach may be restored. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Oh, are there some children that find in God's word what is living in your own heart? There is a breach. There is a breach. Do you know what Moses said about that breach? He said, Lord, if thy presence go not with us, carry us not up hence. Oh, he could not go without the Lord. That grief was a separation was a burden to him. It was a grief unto him. Then they want to take away that breach. You know what they must learn? They cannot take it away. They have to learn how weak that they are. That is the distress of their soul. Their spirit is willing. The Lord Jesus said of Peter, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that first covenant that is broken by the deeds of the law, shall no flesh be justified in his sight. And then they have one time to cry out. We have heard that out of our catechism. Is there no way? Is there no way that I may escape that punishment and again be received into favor? And congregation, then the Lord opens that way. Then the Lord shows them that way. Then the Lord shows them, I am the way. And then they may see something of him and how precious that he becomes to them. And the desire of their soul, the longing of their soul. We have heard it in the weeks that have gone by. Oh, that in my greatest temptation, oh, if there is yet a temptation, even by those who may see him, even by those to whom he is revealing himself, a great temptation. And what is that temptation? O congregation, if we have seen him, and our soul desires him, and our soul needs him, but we do not yet possess him, oh, then there is a temptation. Then the devil says, you shall never possess him. No, you shall die before your sins, they are ever forgiven you. No, you shall what? Oh, you shall end. You shall yet end in that place of eternal separation in which your heart that so fears. That is what you deserve. You still have to miss him. You say, I believe he is able to do it. You cry out with that Father, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And yet you say, is he willing to do it? Is he willing? That you do not know. But if your sin would never be forgiven, then what? Then you are separated. Then you are separated forever. And that soul righteously. Do you know what that people learn to say? They learn to say, that is what I deserve. That I am forever and forever placed on the outside of that communion. Do you know what they learn to say? They learn to say, Lord, when I come there, which is my just desert, oh, may I have a place there. That I may still glorify thee. That I may still magnify thee. Oh, in my greatest temptation, congregation, are there those also among us that have these temptations? And for whom these are your greatest temptations? Why is there added, he descended into hell? That in my greatest temptations, I may be assured and wholly comfort myself in this, that my Lord Jesus Christ, by his inexpressible anguish, pains, terrors, and hellish agonies, in which he was plunged during all his sufferings, but especially on the cross, hath delivered me from the anguish and torments of hell. O congregation, a book of comfort. A book of comfort. Because why? Oh, then it is extracting that comfort that is coming out of that holy word of God. For whom? For those who have no distress. Oh, no. They do not need comfort. But for those who fear, who grieve for that separation between God and your soul, it begins in the life. It begins on the earth. It does not begin in eternity. It begins on the earth. And when that separation becomes our grief, and when that separation and that becomes our temptation, all that is the people whom the Lord is assuring and whom he is showing that separation, as it were, even if it could be possible within that divine Trinity itself, in order to take away that separation between God and his children. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou grant that comfort unto thy own children, which they stand in need of, thou knowest. But wilt thou open unto each and every one of us what we deserve. Oh, that thou would open our eyes, and that thou mayst show unto us our state by nature, that thou may open unto us also that thy dear Son, who has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Oh, bless thy word this day. Bring us safely to our places. Cause us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Give us meditations upon thy word of truth. And wilt thou cause us to seek in thy holy word and in those books that are based thereupon. And wilt thou give a little eating and drinking therein. And wilt thou keep us from all sin, from a sudden and an unprepared death. Help in the week to come, in all the labors of our hands, prosper our way, because also that we may be stopped upon our journey. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 278, 1, 4, and 5. Two hundred and seventy-eight, 1, 4, and 5. The tender love a father has for all his children dear. Such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 1, 4, and 5 of 278. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Bless you.